Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Esther, chapter 4. I was going to do something else in the second hour, but the Lord directed my attention to Esther this morning when I was reading. Pastor said he was going to bet on the Marines, which is a department of the Navy. And I am not going to argue with you. Just talk it over with the frogmen. Talk it over with the frogmen. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay, I'll just leave it at that, amen. I spent almost the whole first hour just sharing an update and getting everybody up to speed with where we're at now in Budapest, Hungary. Long story short, I was saved in 1978, 44 years ago. I quit school after the ninth grade, kind of quit school, got kicked out kind of thing. It was a mutual agreement with the school. I'm sorry, I didn't turn my microphone on. I do that. So anyhow, all right. Love technology when it works, right? Okay, starting over. Preacher bet is going to bet on the Marines, their Department of the Navy. I'm not going to argue the politics. Just explain it to the frogmen, okay? Talk it over with the frogmen. But I got saved when I was 21, 44 years ago, stationed in Jacksonville, Florida. I had quit, got kicked out of school after ninth grade. It's mutual. My parents agreed, and then at 17, I signed up and joined the Navy. My dad agreed, signed the papers, and he had done the same thing with his dad. And anyhow, I went to the Navy, and at 21, I was invited to Trinity Baptist Church and got saved. And baptized, and the rest is his story, God's story, okay? And 1992, our family surrendered to go to Russia as missionaries. And for the first 16 years of our ministry, we were in Russia. The first 8 years, we were right across from Alaska in what they call the Far East, also Siberia. God helped us to get four churches started in that area. Our son James, our younger son, was 6 years old at the time, and he is now back in Magadan, Russia, as a missionary. They were there, and he's been probably 8 years, 9 years altogether already in Russia, and doing a tremendous job there. They had come out of Russia when things started happening over there. Then they have permanent residency permits, and if you stay out too long, you lose those. And they spent a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort trying to get those. So they ended up going back to Russia the end of October. No, excuse me. Okay, yeah, in August. But anyhow, they were able to get back, keep their permits in order and everything. And now they are eight time zones east of Moscow, right across from Alaska. Russia used to span, still does, 11 time zones. From the very Far East all the way to Kaliningrad, which is on the Baltic Sea there. It's amazing. People don't realize how big it is. One time I heard a missionary say that Canada, after the breakup of the Soviet Union, Canada is the largest country in the world now. And I just went up to him after the service quietly, and I said, you need to look at a map. Russia is huge. I'm not kidding. It's huge. But anyhow, God let us start four churches in Russia, and then 2007 we started having some visa issues. 3 months in, they wanted to do 3 months in, 3 months out, and we just decided, prayed, that that probably wouldn't work very well. So long story short, we ended up going to Budapest, Hungary as missionaries. We've been there 14 years, and we took over for a missionary that was on furlough, and We live in the land of Catholicism and Calvinism. The two main churches in Hungary are the Catholic Church and then the Hungarian Reformed, which is Calvinism. I talked about that in the morning. I said, I'm really concerned there are a lot of Baptists that are going towards Calvinism. And over the years, God has kind of refined it for me and given me one good answer. Why I'm not a Calvinist. It's easy. I'm a Baptist. I'm not a Protestant. We did not come out of the Protestant Reformation. And whenever somebody likes to argue the case, I just tell them, I'll listen to them for a while, then I'll say, you do know that Martin Luther and John Calvin killed the believers at that time that they disagreed with. And the main argument at that time was infant baptism. So they would ask me something else about Calvinism or tell me something else about Calvinism, and I would just say, you do know that John Calvin, Martin Luther killed the Baptist believers at that time that disagreed with them. And the disagreement was over infant baptism. I just watched a movie the other day, The Radicals. You can watch it on YouTube for free. A Catholic priest leaves the Catholic Church, marries one of the girls that's also working with the Catholic Church. They get married and they become radicals, heretics. Now, there's a lot of questions about some of them would baptize babies, but some of them wouldn't. But in Zwingli and those guys, they passed the law that if you did not baptize your babies, you would be thrown into the river alive. You would get your baptism in the river. So they would get a little more excited, you know, and ask me more, and I would just keep going back. I said, if you can answer me why they killed the believers at that time over infant baptism. One of the guys got real excited with me, and I just smiled and said, you're not going to kill me, are you? Now, you laugh, but they were laughing 400 or 500 years ago when all this was happening. Okay, the Baptist believers, our forefathers and mothers, were losing their lives over infant baptism by other Christians. Yep. Think about that. I'm right now. I'm in the point of writing out the Trail of Blood. I want to do four columns: English, Hungarian, Russian, and I've got some folks, Vlad, that's working with Brother Ron there in Ukraine. He's going to translate in Ukrainian for me. Whew, praise God. Anyhow, I'm going to get started here real soon, okay? Boy, we could go a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been up since 5 o'clock, so don't worry. I'm just so full of God's Word. You know, I've been reading, I talked about this in the first hour. I've written the whole Bible out by hand, by the way, in English. 3 New Testaments in Russian. I got 5 New Testaments written in Hungarian. The last Hungarian New Testament I did a parallel. I did English and Hungarian side by side. Boy, was that a lot of work. It took 3 years. But man, just spending that much time in the Bible and still reading the Bible every month like I have for the last 22 years has been, it's called a Bible principle called tithing. I give 10% of my time every day, about 2.5 hours, to prayerful, devotional, diligent reading of the Bible every day. I can easily read the whole Bible in 1 month. And I could show you in the beginning of my Bible, I've got a picture of my Bible reading schedule every day of the month, okay? So if you want to see that afterwards, a lot of people are taking pictures of it. And if you want a picture of it and you want to try it, I'd say go for it. I also have a handwritten Hungarian New Testament, if you want to come up and take a look. Nobody's come up to take a look at it yet. I think they're afraid of what might happen if they get hooked by the Bible. Amen. Yeah, all right. So anyhow, we've been in Hungary 14 years. Started out pretty good, but then a lot of people started dropping off because of tithing. The Baptist Union churches in Hungary and really all over the world, the government pays their preacher, pays their building, utilities, all of this stuff. So really the people in the Baptist Union type churches don't have to tithe. The government takes care of it. Well, when we started reading the Trail of Blood in Hungarian, the people kind of said, wow, we like that. Separation, church and state. Amen. We're not letting the government tell us what to do. And, then they started saying, we got a question though. If the government doesn't pay our bills, who's going to pay our bills? Well, good news, bad news. It's always good to be free from the government, amen? But the bad news is we have to pay the bills, and we lost a lot of people. So we have a small group of people, and again, to make a long story short, my wife and I have been praying the last several years, Lord, how long do you want us to stay here? Well, we got our answer in February. We've had a Bible Institute every Monday night for 9 years until COVID, 9 or 10 years before until COVID. And this past January, I told the guys, I said, COVID's over. If you guys want to come on Monday nights for the Bible Institute, I'm here. I live upstairs in the church. You know, we're here. I'm available. I said, I really miss our time together on Monday nights, our fellowship. And I said, but if not, and they said, well, we're working, we're kind of tired, we're just going to kind of take it easy and not come on Monday night. And I said, okay, that's fine. But I said, I gave them a warning. I said, God might just find something else for me to do on Monday night. And you guys will be left out. And sure, and a month later, the war started in Ukraine. I got on Thursday night, a friend of mine, Ron Jackson, who's from our home church in Cleveland, Ohio. I have to say that. Tennessee, they have a Cleveland, Tennessee. Can you believe it? It's like, wow, that's interesting. Oh, Cleveland. Oh, you're from right over. No, I'm not from right over here. I'm from up north, Cleveland, Ohio. But anyhow, my friend Ron was in Chicago getting ready to fly to Kiev on Thursday night when Russia started dropping bombs on Ukraine. To make a long story short, Ron ended up going to Istanbul, Turkey. The next day he sent me a text and he said, hey, I'm coming into Budapest on Saturday morning. Can you pick me up? I said, yeah, I'll pick you up. You can stay with us. And he said, pray for me. I'm trying to get into Ukraine. And I wrote him back and I said, amen. I said, I'm in. And he says, what do you mean? I said, I'm in and I'll go with you as far as God will let us go. Long story short, Sunday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, we left for Ukraine and they let us in. Since then, I've made 25 trips into Ukraine since February. And that's where I'm going to kind of talk a lot about this morning. I'm going to give a long introduction, okay, and a short message. I like to do that. But anyhow, God let us go into Ukraine. We went in with Ron, and Ron had been a missionary in Ukraine for many years, and ended up getting cancer, going back to the States. God healed him, and he started going to Ukraine, visiting the military on the front in the Far East on the Russian border, carrying in gospel literature and supplies, tactical gloves and all kinds of stuff like that for the military, which we are still doing where we're at. But so anyhow, we went in and visited some of the bases, and Ron was able to get on there and meet with the base commanders and all the different people on the base, and we got to give them gospel literature. We gave them gospel bags, Ron calls them, with a orange and an apple and a great big candy bar with whole nuts in it, you know, chocolate bar with whole nuts in it for protein, and those tactical gloves, real nice ones, and John and Romans and tracks. And we had a great opportunity the first three or four times we went into Ukraine to the bases there. And then Ron came back to Cleveland, and they started going to the front through Poland. And then I started taking groups. I started getting groups coming from, we had four groups from Ohio that came to spend some time with us, passing out literature. We had the first two groups had four people. The second two groups had five people from, Cornerstone Baptist Temple there in Dayton, Ohio. Brother Jerry Seiler, that also supported us 29 years. The first Sunday night, Brother Seiler, I wish I could see him do this. He said, I'm going to Ukraine. Who's going with me? Well, they got up 20-some people, and they ended up coming to Ukraine. The first two groups, four guys, picture this, preacher, four guys, they each had three black and yellow Rubbermaid totes. Each tote had 450 John and Romans in Ukraine. Ukrainian. Each guy had three of those. 50 some pounds. All of their personal gear was in a backpack. They put them on these hand carts they got there at the airport. You know, each guy had two, these hand carts coming out of there. Those four groups brought in 25,000 John Romans in Ukrainian. We took them in there. We're still passing them out. We still got a lot more to pass them out. I got a text message from one of the guys in Milford, Ohio, bearing precious seed. And he said, Brother Jim, could you use 70 to 80,000 John Romans in Ukrainian? I wrote back. I said, yes, yes, yes. And he said, okay, we'll get them ready. And praise the Lord, we got the container, and I've probably carried more than half, almost two-thirds of them in Ukraine already, and mailing them out in the country to Odessa, Kiev, Zhytomyr, and other places there in Ukraine, and passed out a whole bunch on the street. Then about a month ago, I got a call from Brother Johnny Leslie, who's in Croatia. He said, Jim, I'm getting ready to come back to Croatia, and I've got about two-thirds of a container filled with literature. And Bearing Precious Seed wants to know, could you use 100,000 New Testaments in Ukrainian? I said, yeah. So they should be in Croatia pretty soon, maybe right when we get back in December. Then I'll have to bring them up to Budapest, and we'll get them in the country from there. God is really doing some amazing things. One of the neat things about where we go in Hungary, in Ukraine, it's right across the border from Hungary. It's only a three-hour drive from our house. We go across the border, deal with both the Hungarian and the Ukrainian border people, and I can speak Hungarian, I can speak Russian, which they don't mind speaking Russian, and it's really been really neat to see what God is doing. In the last quite a few years, we've been praying especially for laborers and for fruit, that folks would get saved. We've only seen just a handful of people get saved in Hungary in 14 years. But in the last 8 months in Ukraine, and the Ukrainians that are in Hungary, we've seen almost 60 people get saved. We had two families, Ukrainian families, staying with us for 3 months. We had a Bible study on Monday night with some Ukrainian gypsies. We saw a bunch of them get saved. And then we had some Ukrainian families about an hour to the west of us. We have a Friday night Bible study every week with the folks there. And we help out with groceries and stuff like that. And then we have a Bible study. I play my guitar and we sing and just have a great time with them. But also we've had a lot of people get saved in Ukraine, and we've also had some of the people on the military base get saved. We also had the Trail of Blood printed in Russian. Got 1,000 of those printed locally there in Budapest for $1 a piece. And they're beautiful, good quality paper, everything. Beautiful print. And we got a bunch of those printed. And as soon as we get the Ukrainian Trail of Blood done, we want to get those printed and passed out too. When people ask about helping out, I said, you know, I'm telling them it would be better to send money to our local church. They would mail it over or send it over, and we can buy stuff there. Anything that you ship, we have to pay 27% tax on at customs. And a lot of times it takes months and months and months before it ever comes, before it ever gets through. And it's just a real headache to try to get stuff through. And we can actually buy stuff cheaper there in Hungary, especially now with all the stuff with the gas prices going high, sky high, and all that stuff. Let's go to Esther chapter 4. You know, when all of this started happening in Ukraine, I didn't realize at the very beginning the position that God had put my wife and I in. Let me explain that. We had prayed for laborers. We probably had 60 people or more come to visit us in Hungary since February. We had four groups come from Fairbanks, Alaska. I don't know if you've ever been up there. Brother Duffett. Oh, I love those guys up there in Fairbanks. We had four guys coming right away within 2 weeks. We had four guys coming from Fairbanks. And I told the people of our church, you better get ready. We got the four horsemen coming from Fairbanks. This is going to be apocalyptic. This is going to be from Revelation. I can't even remember the English. Apocalyptic, right? Something like that. And I got a cold and I got jet lag and all that. So you guys figured it out already, right? I'm not 100% here today. But I'm having a great time. Okay? God is doing so much and I just hope I can get through this before 2 o'clock. I'm trying, preacher. Long story short, we had four groups come from Alaska. I mean, we've had all these visitors coming and we're just busy. And my wife's got two Ukrainian families staying in our downstairs in our home. We're having the services. We got Hungarians, we got Ukrainians, and we got Americans. We're singing the songs. Where's the song leader at? Where's he at here? Right here. We're singing the songs in three languages. I said, okay, we'll do the first verse in Hungarian, the second verse in Russian, and the third verse in American. And everybody kept getting mixed up, and they kept singing when they weren't supposed to be singing. He's laughing. You should have seen how hard I was laughing trying to get this all figured out. Everybody was getting mixed up, singing the wrong verse, and I'd say, okay, let's just stop this right now. Let's just sing all the verses in all the languages. Sometimes the Hungarian has four verses, Russian has five. Sometimes Russian has five, Hungarians have four. And I said, look, if you're at the last verse and nobody's singing, but somebody over here is singing, just sing the last verse again. You know, and we'll just do that. We were having so much fun. The interpreter, I'd be preaching, or one of the other Americans would be preaching. We have the guy doing it in Hungarian. I would do it, or Brother Ron, or Clayton McCurdy, you know, he would do it in Russian. We had three languages going. Sometimes it would be me and my Hungarian interpreter. I would do it in English, do it in Russian. Mark or Milan would do it in the Hungarian. At one time, I didn't have anybody in Hungary, and I had to do it in all three languages. Woo! Don't try to do that without adult supervision, okay? It's not going to happen. I got my iPad back there, and I usually use that when I'm preaching. And I saw on Facebook one of these preachers, you know, that said, you should never preach from an iPad. And we did our services live on Facebook, so I took my iPad and I showed it to the screen real close. And I said, somebody's criticizing guys for using the iPad when they preach. I said, if you could give me one of these, I'll quit using my iPad. I have English, Hungarian, and Russian. All on one page. 26-point or even 36-point print. So I don't even have to use my reading glasses and do this all day. You know, I can read it without my reading glasses, and I've got all three languages there. And that night, I was doing it in English, Hungarian, and Russian all by myself, with the Lord helping me, of course. Crazy, yeah. Fun, yeah. Whatever, we had a great time. But God really, really did something. Now, there have been times when I've been in Ukraine, at the city that we go to, we help a lady and her husband. They own a hotel and a restaurant. She was feeding the kids for free. We were bringing groceries over for the restaurant to help feed the children for free. We were going around to different schools, old schools that were closed, that were opened up and cleaned up, and they had refugees staying there. The groups that came, they bought refrigerators, they bought washing machines. They bought a big commercial stove for the military base. They bought two big flat screen TVs, 52 inch for the military. And so that they could do their Zoom calling, their video calling to other commanders, base commanders around the country, so they could watch the war in real time. I am an official, unofficial chaplain for the Ukrainian army now. Boy, I like that. And I got a big patch I wear on my shoulder here with my American flag. And on the other side, I have Ron's symbol there, God Loves Ukraine, with American flag, Ukrainian flag on it. I love to go up to the border, you know, and stick my head in the window and say, "Hi, how you like my new hat?" And they go, "Wow, what's that?" I go, I'm your new chaplain, which means I got front of the line privileges. Yeah, I like that. Anyhow, there have been times when I've been witnessing to people on the street. And one time, this lady was Ukrainian. Her husband was Hungarian. Because that part of Ukraine used to belong to Hungary. So there are a lot of Hungarians outside the borders, all the way around the country. Okay, after World War II, they chopped off a lot of the outside borders of Hungary, gave them to Croatia or Yugoslavia at that time, Slovenia, but also Czechoslovakia in the north, and then to Romania in the east. There's like almost 5 million Hungarians live outside the border. Well, there's a lot of them in Ukraine, and I've been meeting up with a lot of them. When I go out on the street, I pass out literature. I got Ukrainian John Romans, and if somebody says, "Mies," that's, "What's this?" in Hungarian. When they say "Mies," I go, "Oh!" I flip my stack over, and I got Hungarian on the bottom. "Oh, Tesek, take this." So I give them one in Hungarian. "Oh, you speak Hungarian?" "Yeah, I'm the pastor at the Bible Baptist Church in Budapest, Hungary." And then we have a conversation in English. One time I was talking with this couple. She was Ukrainian. Her husband was Hungarian. And I told her who I was. I'm an American. I have a black T-shirt on. It's got a big American flag on it and a Ukrainian flag side by side. And I said, we're helping with humanitarian aid, and we're also praying for you guys. And she started crying because an American was coming in to the war zone, into Ukraine, and helping with gospel literature and also with humanitarian aid. And this was the first time I'd ever done this. I never thought about this prior. God just put it on my heart. I took my hat off. Now, this is how close we were standing talking. I put my left hand on her shoulder. I put my right hand on his shoulder. And I start praying out loud. One phrase in Russian, one phrase in Hungarian. And I went back and forth. Russian, Hungarian. She broke down. She really started crying. And when I got done, I looked at him. He was almost ready to start crying. And Hungarians don't really have any emotion. They don't show any kind. If they start getting emotional in church, a lot of times they'll leave because they have to shut it down. They've been taught Calvinism. You don't have emotion. There's no emotion in Calvinism or Catholicism. And I could tell you story after story. We've had some of the military officers have gotten saved on the base, and I could just, you know, be here all the rest of the day telling you the things that God has done. Okay, now let's look at Esther, the book of Esther. I read it this morning. Again, God refreshed it in my mind. Long story short, Haman is right underneath the king, and he's the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of King Agag that Saul was supposed to kill and didn't. King Samuel killed him. Okay? So now Haman is second in command, and Mordecai is not bowing down to him. Haman has a plan. He said, "We're not just going to kill Mordecai. We're going to kill all the Jews. We're going to kill all the Jews." And the king puts his stamp on it. So point number one, we got a crisis situation here. We have a crisis situation right now in Hungary and in Ukraine and in Russia, all over Europe right now. Russia is stopping the gas into Europe. In Ukraine right now, 30% of the country has no electric. No water, no heat. And winter's coming. Europe is in trouble. For the first time, the people are going back out into the woods and chopping firewood, going to the coal plants and trying to buy coal to heat their houses. There's a crisis situation. Look at America. My heart is broken for America with what's going on right now in this country. Yeah, I could preach a long time on that. We need some people in America to really get fired up. I'm all for warfare. I was just with one of my good friends, Marvin Smith, Fort Dodge, Iowa. Spiritual warfare. It's on every page in the Bible. Every page in the Bible. We need to learn to pray. We need to start reading our Bibles again. And we need to go out with tracts in our pockets and pass them out. My wife and I were driving here yesterday. We stopped at Wendy's along Route 20. Had lunch. I have a baseball cap, black baseball cap, and on it, it's got a cross in the middle. It says, Jesus Saves. I did it myself with a whiteout pen. Really, I'll show you my hat. It's right underneath there. This cashier got so excited. She said, "Oh wow, I love your hat, you know." And I've heard it many, many times. And I said, "Yeah, my wife and I are Christians, and we're actually serving the Lord in Budapest, Hungary. And this is already 30 years, our 30 years as missionaries." She said, "Wow, that is so cool." She said, "I'm a Christian." And I said, "Since February, I've gone into Ukraine 25 times." She goes, "Wow, that's wonderful." She said, "I want to pray for you guys before you leave." I said, "Okay." So I went over to the side there. I think I grabbed some napkins or something. And I came back, and she was just kind of standing there doing busy work, you know. And I said, "Hey, why don't you come over and pray for us before we eat?" And she came up. She prayed a nice prayer that God would help us and, you know, encourage us and all that stuff. It was really good. And all because of a Jesus Saves baseball cap. You know, and I've had so many people, and I've talked with so many people about going to Ukraine, you know, and serving the Lord as a missionary there. We have a crisis situation right now going on in America, right here in Dubuque. Dubuque needs the Lord. Yeah. Dubuque needs the Lord. There's a crisis situation. The king puts a stamp of approval. They write a letter. It goes out into all the kingdom, 120 provinces or something like that. The Jews are going to be killed, all of them. Mordecai sends a note, verse 12. They told to Mordecai Esther's words. Esther says in verse 11, "The king hasn't called anybody to come. He hasn't called me to come into his presence. If I do that, I'll be killed." Mordecai answers Esther. Verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." Here you go. "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" The guys from Alaska that came down, Brother Clayton McCurdy, I met him back in 94, Fairbanks, Alaska. I thought he was going to come to Russia, and he bailed out on me and went to Moldova with Brother Paul Hamilton. But God gets the last laugh. God brought Clayton to Budapest. Woo, that's good. I would have shouted, but I don't have any voice, okay? All right. He's made 2 trips, by the way, already, and he's come back again. Oh, he's a good friend. He knows Russian really good too, Brother Clayton. Oh man, we had a great time. You know what he's calling me? The director, the Central European director for Ukraine missions. He's calling me Mr. Director. Mr. Director of the Ukrainian mission, Baptist missions, you know, in Budapest. Right place, right time. I believe God has been training my wife and I for 30 years for this job. For such a time as this, God has this church right here, right now, to win Dubuque. And not just Dubuque, excuse me, but all the world. through your missionaries. For such a time as this, if not now, when? If not here, where? If not you, who? Who is going to go to all the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who? Man, I look at the potential we got just right here in the first couple of rows. I'll go back a couple more rows and get the Irish guy and the Amish guy, amen? Okay, since some of you laughed, I'll just move it back and say this whole side of the church, amen? Then I'll come over here and I go, man, look at all the potential right here. Look at all the potential on this side of the church right here. For such a time as this. Now, folks, I don't want to sound proud, okay, with what I'm going to say. I've never heard so many people tell me, the folks that come to Hungary, God has you here for such a time as this. Pastor Seiler, my good pastor friend, supported us 29 years. He's 79 years old. He said, Brother Jim, God has you here for such a time as this. I can argue with the border guards in Hungarian. I can argue with the border guards in Russian. And they just let me go. They just let me go. They just let me go. And we're just beginning. We're just getting started. There is a crisis situation. Let's go on. What does Esther say? Verse 15. And God, when I talk about Esther, let me say this. God here has a chosen servant. God has somebody in place right now to do this job. Yesterday I read the book of Ezra. Earlier, a bunch of the priests and the Levites had gone to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple under Cyrus's decree. They were getting close to finishing the job. They needed somebody to come and teach the Bible. The king says, Ezra, go. Excuse me. Chapter 7. The Bible says Ezra was a ready scribe. He was ready. All of that time and the time prior to that, there's a young man that's sitting home reading and studying the scriptures and praying. He was a ready scribe. He was ready. Verse 10 says, chapter 7, he was ready because Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach Israel statutes and judgments. And he went. He also brought a group of Levites, a group of priests to Jerusalem. And in Nehemiah, when I just finished Nehemiah this morning, now I'm reading in Esther. When Nehemiah heard, his brethren came and he asked his brethren about Jerusalem and they told him about the destruction in Jerusalem. Nehemiah broke down and wept and mourned and fasted certain days and prayed to the God of heaven. Then several months later, he goes to see the king. Several months later, fasting and praying, begging God. He was the king's cupbearer. Definite prayer, definite answer. That God would give me mercy for this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Definite prayer, definite answer. God worked in the heart of the king, and the king said to Nehemiah, "What do you want? What do you want to do?" It says, "So it pleased the Lord to send me." So and there's short verses in the Bible. So I prayed unto the Lord, and he goes on. Didn't even tell you what he prayed. Just I prayed unto God. Short verses. Help me, Lord. And he said to the king, "I want to go and rebuild the walls." And the king said, "Go." Wrote him a letter, and Nehemiah went. A chosen servant. We see a chosen servant in Esther here. Verse 16. We see a commitment to sacrifice. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. A commitment to sacrifice. Lord, even if it costs my life, even if it costs my life, I want to go. I want to try to do something. I can't sit aside anymore. When I started deputation in July of 1992, 30 years ago, somehow, I wish I could find a copy of it today. It's probably in our storage in a tub somewhere. And I don't know, but I'd like to find a copy of it. I got a copy of a letter written by a missionary, I think in Ukraine. But he was begging for people to come to help them to pass out scripture. He's helping for people to send Bibles and all of these things over to Ukraine because they had a great opportunity to reach into Russia and across Ukraine with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I read that at a preacher's meeting one time. I started out all my meetings like this because it was so powerful. God had just given me this letter. And I said, what a great time of opportunity. And all these guys are saying, amen, amen, amen. And I said, fellas, this letter was written in 1919. Boy, you could hear there was a hush come over the church. Preacher's meeting. What a great opportunity they had. And they lost it. They lost it. I said, I'm going to let you off the hook because probably nobody was here in 1919. Okay? Now, Miss Luella was close, but she wasn't here in 1919. I can probably figure that. That's 20 years, 22. No, that'd be. But I said, we have opportunity right now. And whether you support me or not, I'm going to Russia with my family. And we're praying for big things from God. And praise the Lord, we got some support. And we ended up going. And that now I'm looking back on 30 years. But now today, there's a crisis again in Ukraine and in Russia and in all of Europe and in America. And right now we need some of God's people to just stand up and say, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do everything I can. And if I perish, I perish. I have a son and his family in Russia today. You see, doesn't it bother you? Doesn't it scare you? No. I know he's in God's will. And if God wants him in Russia, I'd rather have him in Russia than in America.
Yeah, that's good. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. If I perish, I perish. Look what happens. Real quick, chapter 5. Now see, if she goes in uninvited and the king says no, she's dead. That's the law. That's the law. And to do this in front of everybody, you know, she's probably dead within 5 minutes. Dead. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? What is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of thy kingdom. I'm not going to finish the story. You know how the story ends. Haman is killed. He's hung on his own gallows. Be careful messing with God's people. Be careful, America. messing with God's people. A complete salvation was the last point. A crisis situation, a chosen servant, a commitment to sacrifice, and number four, a complete, complete salvation.
Yeah,
amen. People talk about, pray the Lord would come so we don't get COVID, all this stuff on Facebook, and I'm like, I want Jesus to come too. But there are a lot of people out there that don't know the Lord.
Yeah, right.
And I'm hoping that a lot of them will get saved before it's too late.
Right. Yeah.
Preacher took us down to the chapel last night, and man, praise God. I'm praying that a lot of those people down there will get saved too.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to sacrifice if you could see God do great things in your life? I am. And I'm already seeing God do more than I ever thought possible in my life. When I went to Russia 30 years ago, I had a small little dream of what I thought God would want me to do on the mission field. My first 4 years, God let us do this much. So my dreams for the future for the Lord, you can't even control it in the four walls of this church. Because I believe that God is going to do so much more as we commit ourselves to Him and to Him, His service, and as we give Him all the glory. That's what I want to see. For such a time as this, God wants me and God wants you to go. Sir, we would see Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Would you be willing to go? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the good day you've given. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in Dubuque. And God, I do pray that there would be some folks here that would surrender to your service, whatever you'd have them to do. God, I pray that, Lord, if there's anyone that's not saved, you'd help them get saved today. Lord, if there's some folks here that are visiting, have been visiting for a while maybe, God, they're not members here, I pray you'd help them to get involved in being a member of this church, that they might help the church to do the work that you've called them to do. And God, help us to be willing to sacrifice. No matter what you would ask of us, that we might see your truth go forward and see your truth through the Lord Jesus Christ, many people get saved. Father, help us to be ready for such a time as this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.